It's telethon time. It's September. It's the Bob Enyart Live annual telethon. Can you help keep Bob Enyart on the air for another year? I know you can do it. Every subscription, we're giving away Bob's brand new video on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Have you ever wondered what happened to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Have you ever wondered why it is that God put that tree in the midst of the garden? I've wondered a lot of things about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Bob's brand new video version of his insightful teaching on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is free for anyone who subscribes to any of our monthly subscriptions. Our newest product, our monthly sermon audios on standard compact disc, allows you to listen to the sermon on any CD player, including the one in your car. Bob's monthly Bible studies are now available on DVD or MP3 CD. These are great for starting your own family Bible study or a neighborhood Bible study. Folks, I know you get a lot out of Bob Enyart Live, and it's time to pay a little bit forward. Help keep Bob Enyart Live on the air. Call us up or go to kgov.com, subscribe to one of Bob's monthly teaching series, or just make a donation, $5, $10, $5,000, $10,000. It's the Bob Enyart Telethon. We need your help to keep on the air. God bless you.
Warning, warning, there's truth of it. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Enyart Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. With the terrorism from Islamic extremists in the Middle East, Northern Africa, against the U.S., with our ambassador killed in Libya and three others at the U.S. consulate, which was burned, President Barack Obama has vowed to send even more money to the Muslim Brotherhood. And former President George W. Bush said, I thought me giving $200 million a year would be enough to pacify them. Right. So we're in an election cycle where the Republicans will criticize the Democrats and say, you know, Barack Obama gives all this money to these terrorist, Islamic terrorist organizations. And we remember that George W. Bush did the same thing. Remember the Bush Doctrine? If you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist. And then we extended that to the Bob Enyart Live Doctrine. The Bob Enyart Live Doctrine, which was, if you are a terrorist, you are a terrorist. You know, Yasser Arafat for a while had a sign outside of his complex there in the West Bank, and it said, terrorists are us. And so if you are a terrorist, you are a terrorist. Yasser Arafat was one of the longest reigning terrorists in modern history. And so to give him hundreds of millions of dollars and for Barack Obama to follow the Republican lead, in where the Republicans sent social spending through the roof during a time of international crisis, during a time of America fighting wars on two fronts, actual hot wars, along with the general worldwide war on terror. So then why don't we spend on social programs like we're drunken socialists? And that's what the Republicans did. And then lo and behold, say it isn't so. The Democrats are spending more money than the Republicans on social programs. And I'm not kidding here. I hope people are picking up on the valuable insight that in 2012, conservative means a conservative is a Republican who's committed to saving social programs created by Democrats. That's what a conservative is today. A conservative is a Republican who's trying to save social programs started by liberals. And if the Republicans were against these programs when they started, right, when they were introduced, all these government social, you know, they call it social security because it's a form of socialism, that the government is going to take care of you because it believes that you're too incompetent to take care of yourself. And so back when true conservatives would oppose these things because they're all a step towards socialism, we've devolved to such a point where our conservative saviors are the ones who want to save all the social welfare programs created by Democrats. And that's it. That's all you got left, guys. Those of you who are defenders, apologists for Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan, all you got left is you are trying desperately to save the left-wing, liberal, social policies created by Democrats, which at the time you guys were kicking and screaming against, saying they were no good because they would harm America, because they disincentivize people by the millions, because we don't have to worry because the government will take care of us, makes us all a bunch of slobs. And so now, congratulations, that's who you are. That's who Mike Rosen is. Mike Rosen is a conservative who wants to save social programs created by liberals. That's it. That's what they've become. Could you imagine if the Republicans said, you know, these social programs that we all depend on, our dependence and our reliance, our view of them as providing us security, are evidence of how weak we've become. And we need to return to the economic model where self-reliance and reliance upon God and our own hard work and taking care of ourselves and our family is the foundation of our security, not the government, because the government is a lousy middleman. And we have less security when the government is the middleman, not more, because we're all spending somebody else's money, and eventually you always run out of other people's money. Which Republicans running for president and vice president right now are making that argument? Versus which ones are saying we need to save the Democratic, liberal, social welfare programs? We need to save those programs. That's what you're left with. When you throw in with leaders, alleged leaders, who don't care about killing unborn children or marriage between a man and a woman, they just don't care. They don't care about the exercise of religious liberty, and they're willing to defend themselves ordering pro-life hospitals to administer abortion pills. When you don't care and they don't care, then guess what's going to happen to your precious economic conservative values? Guess what's going to happen to them? The Republicans are going to spend you into the cesspool, because that's where they are and that's where they want you to be. Mitt Romney was a socialist destroyer of jobs and families in the state of Massachusetts. And he promised the homosexuals he could get more accomplished for them than any Democrat could in Washington. And he wasn't kidding. And so now we have this tragedy where we have the U.S. ambassador to Libya with three other Americans killed by Islamic extremists, the U.S. consulate burned in Benghazi, and President Obama, I mean, what's he going to do? What's a Democrat to do? He's going to just have to send more money to the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, what else is he going to do? I mean, what else are the Republicans going to do? That's what they did. After 9/11, they just increased the money that they gave to Islamic terrorists. I thought Bush was running a war against terror, and he was funding it. Remember that? Funding it? Funding it. And so conservatives have reached a stage where they're in widespread denial to the extent that it's some form of mental illness. It is some form of mental illness. When you get angry at the Democrats for doing what you do yourself, you're somewhat mentally ill. Jesus described it as being a hypocrite. He said, don't be a hypocrite. Right? Don't criticize other people for doing what you do. Don't criticize other people for doing what you defend. Don't criticize other people for doing what your guy does, and you support it when your guy does it, because that makes you a hypocrite. And what it really means then is you're not voting for the lesser of two evils. You're not voting for the welfare, the future of your nation. You're voting because out of hatred and fear. You just hate liberals and you're afraid of Obama. So just recognize that. And instead, you should be motivated to think clearly, not based out of a hatred of Obama, because hatred and fear tends to obscure your ability to think straight. You don't think straight. So you should be able to say, you know what? I'm going to think through these issues based on God's commands, what God has revealed to us, what God has commanded of us. And that's what I'm going to use to make my political calculations. And boy, you know what? The sky would clear up for you. The sky would clear up. You'd see rays of light coming down from heaven. You'd recognize that God is the creator and the victory is ours. And what we need to do to enjoy some of that victory right now is to trust him and obey him. To the extent that Satan gets you to support the enemy because you're so fearful and so desperate for a victory, to that extent, you're delaying enjoying any kind of victory. You know how many Republicans have won elections in the past 60 years? You know how many? You know how many judges we put on the bench in the last 60 years? Do you know how many governorships, how many state senates, state representatives, federal congressmen we put in office? How are you going to count them all? You'd have to hire a research staff to count them all. Tens of thousands. And how's that working out for us so far? Their only justification for their own existence, the conservative Republicans, is, well, imagine how much worse it would be if we hadn't won all those elections. If we hadn't controlled the House, the Senate, the Supreme Court, the White House, imagine. And we say, well, back when you did control all that, what did you actually do that made the country better? Other than putting social spending on steroids through the roof, epidemic record deficits. Other than that, what did you do? What did you do? Other than helping to destroy marriage by promoting homosexuality. Other than helping to destroy the unborn child by making only the pro-aborts in your party into celebrities. Other than things like that. What did you do? Other than giving billions of dollars to terrorist groups. I mean, other than that, what did you do? Where did you actually dig in and draw a line in the sand and fight for what is right? Where? What? You killed a bunch of Muslim terrorists? That's what Barack Obama does. He's really good at it. He's killing Muslim terrorists at a faster rate than George W. Bush did. And we pointed that out back when people were being lied to about the whole John McCain thing. And we said, you don't know that Barack Obama is not going to kill Muslim terrorists. He was in office all of 48 hours before he had his first Muslim head on the wall in the Oval Office. His first hide was on the wall in the Oval Office less than 48 hours after he took power. And when's the last time he killed a leading Muslim terrorist with a drone strike? When's the last time? Oh, in the last 7 days? Yeah. So a lot of the political calculations that we make are not very reliable. It's like predicting, you know, Steve Dace predicted who's going to win the Super Bowl. That's pretty gutsy. That's pretty gutsy. I tell you, if he's right, we're going to remember. And if he's right, we're going to send him some kind of a cruise around the world tickets for him and his wife, because that's quite an accomplishment. But you want to try to predict who's going to win the World Series. Well, that's a lot easier than predicting the outcome of your political calculations. Way easier. And God doesn't say, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to predict whether or not the Herodians or whether the Josephus apologists for the Roman Empire or whether this group or that group are going to have more of a political impact. And then whatever your conclusion is on your political forecasting, then do that. That's not what God says. God says, obey me. And so if there's somebody who kills innocent people, right? Let's say there's somebody who just hates the Jews and they'd really like to kill Jews, but they have a great economic policy. And so you say, well, you know, I think in their heart of hearts, they're really not against the Jews. They just support killing a small number of Jews because they're Jews. And so, but his economic policy, he's going to save us. That's exactly what brought the National Socialists into power in Germany. That's exactly the reasoning. There is no difference. There is no level of difference between the Christian in Germany who thought, you know, those Marxists, they're bad. This is a real threat. This is a dangerous world. The Leninist, well, by now, the Stalinist. Do you know how dangerous the Stalinists are? And if we don't, it's a two-party system, you know. If we don't support the socialist, these are our own homegrown socialists. These are Deutschland. These are our national socialists. And they're against the international socialist of the Stalinists. And look, it's a two-party system. Somebody's going to win. Actually, Germany had more third-party, independent party types. But there were districts in Germany where the Marxist and the socialist won the greatest percentages of the vote. So if you live there, well, look, either it's going to be a Marxist or a socialist. And so at least the socialists, they're our own homegrown socialists. And if you could peek into the future and you found out how many innocent people the Marxists were going to kill, you really found out. Like, say, you bought like a Cracker Jacks box at a baseball game, and you opened up the prize, and it had a fortune in it, the future, reading the future, and it said, the Stalinists are going to murder 20 million people over the next 30 years. 20 million. And you thought, I knew it. I knew that they were worse. I knew that the socialists were the lesser of two evils, and I knew it. And you know, my pastor's right. We do have to hold our nose and vote for the lesser of two evils. So I'm going to vote for Adolf Romney. I'm going to vote for the National Socialists. I'm going to vote for Adolf Hitler, because even though he's not good on the social issues, he's got an economic plan to turn our country around. He's going to save our currency. He's going to reduce the debt. He's going to get rid of inflation. He's going to make sure that our health care is there for when we retire. Oh, the fact that he doesn't really like these fundamentalists, people who read the Bible, the fact that he doesn't really like the people who read Moses, what does that matter? What's important is his track record on the economy. That's what's important. So we say, well, you want to look at it in Massachusetts? Don't be a bigot. What are you, a Mormon bigot? All I want to do is look at his track record in Massachusetts. You bigot, you. Here in America, we have this opportunity as Christians. If we become apologists for child killers and pro-sodomite socialist liberals who have an R after their name, then we could already look and see what will be the outcome of your impact on your world. And it's going to be pretty much harmful, pretty much negative. It's like saying, you know what? You know what I want to be? I want to be a zero. I want to be a nothing. And somebody says, why would you want to be a nothing? Wouldn't you rather be a minus? You say, yeah, I'd like to be a minus. How could I be a minus? Well, support the liberal, socialist, child-killing sodomite running as a Republican. Do that, and you could be a minus. You don't even have to be a zero. You could actually be a net drain on the moral capital of your nation. You could help to destroy the body of Christ in your country. Just as a Christian, support child killers and sodomites. Do that, and socialists. So that's what we are up against. And it's not surprising that we are here. And I'm thankful that James Dobson came out over the last week and blasted the Republicans for their vicious attack on Missouri's Todd Akin, a U.S. senator who spoke in an inartful way. He spoke in a thoughtless way, but what he said was true. And the reason they hated him so much is because what he said was pro-personhood. He said, you don't kill the baby because of the crime of the father. You don't kill the baby. You don't. No exceptions. You don't kill a child. You don't kill one person to save another person. As part of your public policy, you don't intentionally kill an innocent person to save another person, just like you don't kill the mother to save the baby. You don't do it, right? You don't do it. You don't kill the mother to save the baby. And you don't kill the baby to save the mother. You don't kill the baby because his father's a criminal. And that's why Karl Rove, and Mitt Romney hate Todd Akin. That's why. That's the reason why. And when Karl Rove, by the way, Karl Rove is Bush's brain, right? That's for 8 years. He's Bush's brain. He's senior advisor to the White House. And what was he? Assistant chief of staff. And so when, if you remember how excited Christians were and pro-lifers everywhere when it was announced that the Komen Foundation was going to stop funding the abortion industry, Planned Parenthood, they said, they announced we've cut off funding, no more funding. You know who called the CEO of the Komen Foundation? Karl Rove. Karl Rove called and said, are you guys nuts? You guys need to restore funding to Planned Parenthood. You guys are nuts. And so that's in the book. You know, the heroic vice president of public policy at Komen, who was then driven from her position because Komen went back on that one good decision they had made, and they reversed it and began funding again within days, Planned Parenthood. And so she wrote a book, and here's part of the inside story. Karl Rove told Komen that it was absurd for them to cut funding to Planned Parenthood, that they had to restore funding. And you wonder, whose side is Karl Rove on? Those who are really ignorant and want to be lied to, as many Christians do, many Christians say, Lord, please, please help me be easily deceived and help me want to be lied to, because only then could I save my country if I'm lied to. Help me to show absolutely no discernment, Lord, please. Help me to be a fool when it comes to being duped by those who are lying to me. So Karl Rove was not called Bush's brain for nothing. He was a major influence on the White House. And those who say, well, George Bush is against funding for Planned Parenthood, they've been saying that for 20 years almost. You know, they're saying that in Texas. Back when he was filling the Texas courts with pro-abort judges, just packing with pro-abort judges, he's against funding for Planned Parenthood. And so when George W. Bush gives hundreds of millions of dollars more, hundreds of millions more to Planned Parenthood than even Bill Clinton could pull off, he's given an award in Indianapolis at a big mega pro-life fundraiser because he's against funding for Planned Parenthood. I mean, how is that? How does that all work? So it was very encouraging at the banquet Friday night, Colorado Right to Life's banquet, that Steve Dace, nationally syndicated talk show host, he's the newest, hottest talk show host on radio. He's now just launched his show this year. He's already in 42 markets and growing, including two of the top 10 markets in the U.S. Major rollout for a new syndicated show, very significant. And Steve said that the personhood movement, as it has grown in Denver, Colorado, the personhood movement is affecting the debate among Christians and conservatives and pro-lifers everywhere and everywhere throughout this country. And Guabe Garcia Jones of Personhood Colorado added this. He said, now, at least half the time, the discussion is not wait 24 hours, then you could kill the baby. Half the time, it is this. God created this baby. This baby has a right to life. This baby is made in God's image, in God's likeness. That's why it's wrong to kill that baby. And do you realize the difference between having the moral high ground and standing on truth and principle as compared to trying to win some pragmatic battle where you've already conceded the war? You realize the difference between those two? And I spoke for a bit at the banquet, and I showed the Journal of Medical Ethics from February. I held it up, and I read two sentences from an abstract where this peer-reviewed scientific journal is arguing that it should be legal to kill a baby after the baby's born for any reason whatsoever. They call it after-birth abortion. Why should the baby live? And they said, we are arguing that it should be legal to kill the newborn after it's born for any reason, regardless of whether the newborn is handicapped or perfectly healthy. It's irrelevant. You should have the right to kill the baby. Why should the baby live? That's what we're up against. The same argument was in the New York Times 3-page article. The same argument in Discover magazine. The same argument. The same argument from Peter Singer of Princeton, medical ethicist. Same argument. What do you think? What kind of weapons do we need to bring to that kind of war? You think we need to bring, well, wait 24 hours, then you could kill your newborn. Sign this informed consent, ma'am. If you want to kill your 3-week-old baby, you delivered him last month, he's 3 weeks old. If you want to kill that baby, you have to sign this informed consent here. You have to realize that you are killing him. Well, where do I have to sign? You got to sign right here, ma'am. All right. And that's how we're going to win the war. You see, those kinds of battles that pro-lifers have fought for the last 20 years, those are battles that help the enemy win the war. Actually, informed consent actually is one of the reasons that our enemies are so bold that they put in writing that it should be legal to kill the baby too, because they know that we are weak and decrepit and we are willing to support child killers as long as they have an R behind their name. We think socialists like Mitt Romney are heroes because they want to save the socialist programs that were created by Democrats. Somehow we've convinced ourselves that that's what a hero is. That's how you're going to save the country. You're going to save the country by getting Republicans who want to make the Democratic legacy a success. And I tell you, the Karl Roves of the world, if it wasn't for the fact that their goal was liberalism and the destruction of Christian values, you'd have to say that they're political idiots. They're politically naive. But actually, they're politically savvy because they're accomplishing what they want. They want funding for Planned Parenthood. George W. Bush didn't give Planned Parenthood all those hundreds of millions of dollars because he's just stupid. He did it because he wants to. He filled the courts with pro-abortion judges because he wants to. His father was the first to invite the homosexuals to the White House because they want to normalize homosexuality, because they approve of it, because homosexuality is part of their own rebellion against God, and that's what they're all about. Who do you think the Bush family would rather hang out with? The Clintons or fundamentalist Christians? Who? You know, our telethon here at Bob and Yurt Live, we're really? Hey, we're up to $4,000. Thank you, those of you in the audience who are helping us stay on the air. $4,000. Our goal is $30,000. So we have a long way to go. But we're over 10%, right? I went to public school. I could figure it out. We're over 10%. So our September telethon, the goal is to enable us to stay on the radio for another year. I'm an extrovert, and I always announce things before I should. So I won't. I'll force myself not to make an announcement because it's not even settled yet. But there's good news coming, Lord willing, for our Real Science Friday broadcast. In fact, this week should have a stunning program. I get schooled by one of the world's most famous scientists, atheists, evolutionists. It's fun, though. I think you'll enjoy it. So if you could help us, please go to our website, kgov.com. Subscribe to one of our monthly Bible studies or videos, or get the plot, our overview of the Bible, or just make a donation. We need your help so badly. And hey, God bless you guys.
It's telethon time. It's September. It's the Bob Enyart Live annual telethon. Can you help keep Bob Enyart on the air for another year? I know you can do it. Every subscription, we're giving away Bob's brand new video on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Have you ever wondered what happened to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Have you ever wondered why it is that God put that tree in the midst of the garden? I've wondered a lot of things about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Bob's brand new video version of his insightful teaching on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is free for anyone who subscribes to any of our monthly subscriptions. Our newest product, our monthly sermon audios on standard compact disc, allows you to listen to the sermon on any CD player, including the one in your car. Bob's monthly Bible studies are now available on DVD or MP3 CD. These are great for starting your own family Bible study or a neighborhood Bible study. Folks, I know you get a lot out of Bob Enyart Live, and it's time to pay a little bit forward. Help keep Bob Enyart Live on the air. Call us up or go to kgov.com, subscribe, to one of Bob's monthly teaching series, or just make a donation, $5, $10, $5,000, $10,000. It's the Bob and Yart Telethon. We need your help to keep on the air. God bless you.